Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Principle of Hospitality, the podcast. Now, we've had a collision of worlds, a joining of forces, a banding of brothers. Sash from Principle Design and me, Sean from Open Pantry Consulting, are pleased to announce this venture for 2021, Principle of Hospitality. Now, we know that food brings people together and promotes community. And at Principle of Hospitality, we are here to disrupt current perceptions of what the hospitality industry can achieve in today's ever-evolving and challenging environment. Now, that's why we've partnered with Chef's Hat on this Principle of Hospitality podcast. Now, if you didn't know, Chef's Hat is the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia. They strive to inspire cooks, chefs, bakers, and bartenders to deliver the best product with the best tools every day. So that's why we're so proud to partner with Chef's Hat, where the industry shops. Now let's get into today's podcast. I think you're really gonna enjoy it. Welcome to another Principle of Hospitality podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending some time with us. Canny Grapes is about sharing and expanding wine knowledge, inviting you to journey through vineyards, wine regions, grape varieties, wine history, and learn interesting facts about wine. Altogether, a fun and educational wine tasting experience. Director Anya Lewis hosts regular wine classes based on her extensive wine travels, curates wine and food pairing dinners, and is a guest host for Gourmet Traveler Wine Magazine, amongst many, many other exciting things. All the way in Western Australia, welcome Anya, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. And congratulations, as I said to you the other week, on being the second guest we've got from WA. So I feel like I'm getting some runs on the board back in WA, so it's really, really good. So obviously, like I just mentioned a little bit about, you know, the great work that you're doing over there, and it's just fantastic to have a conversation with you after doing, you know, you being a friend of Chef Lisa, who we've had on the podcast the last couple of weeks as well. Let's talk about how you got into the wine industry, because it's very, very different from maybe a lot of other people who have got into the wine industry, but I think it's really beneficial to learn that story. So how did you get started?
Well, I came back from working on private yachts in the Caribbean. That's where mm-hmm. I met Lisa, who you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so that was in early 2014. Mm-hmm. And so we moved back to Perth, and my intention was to go back into my usual trade or like what I went to university for.
Yes.
Which is mechanical engineering / production engineering. Mm-hmm. So I was looking to go, just back into corporate and work and, you know, solve problems and find solutions and
do all that engineering stuff. Yes.
Yes, that's right. I was full on engineering mode. Mm-hmm. And I had to, unfortunately, I didn't expect that it would take me that long to find a job. Mm-hmm. Or actually not to find a job.
Yes.
And I couldn't really figure out if it was, you know, because I've had quite an extensive experience.
Yes.
Or also probably what I wasn't prepared to do is mm-hmm. to work fly in, fly out. It's mm-hmm. a very common way of working here in WA. So there's a lot of fly in, fly out. And it is, of course, money-based. Yes, there's a lot of money to be made.
Of course.
But like personally for my husband and I, we just wanted to really focus on our quality of life mm-hmm. and being able to be together.
Yep.
So just figuring out that I couldn't really get into what I wanted to do, the husband said, why don't you do something else? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, yeah, just change.
Just change professions, just no problem. Change,
that's right. And but throughout my work on the yachts, like being a chef on the private yacht and probably having the experience already in pairing wine and food and having to source wines and having, you know, to do all the provisioning. Mm-hmm. And probably even prior us leaving for the Caribbean in 2011, I did work for a very short amount of time in a very local bottle shop.
Okay.
And so in Queensland, when we still lived in Queensland, mm-hmm. and there I had probably the first introduction to handcrafted, really small batch wines, like yeah. thanks to the son of the owner, who's also like a wine distributor and winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so something told me, well, wine, I really love wine and I love learning more about wine.
Yes.
So I set myself, you know, I just said to myself, hey, I want to learn everything about wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much the how door that I opened up. And so I always say, so I really just Googled wine purse and what courses there are mm-hmm. Or there were. And job wise, of course, because I had to get a job.
So yes.
To buy the house here. And, you know, it's just, and I, even in my classes, I quite often share the story. And I said, well, if you want to work in wine, the way how I find a job was, I went on seek.com
yes.
and typed in wine and press search. And there was my first job. And I did it twice. Like yeah. I really did it twice in the last, like, you know, for me, just before I started Kenny Graves.
Yes.
So that's pretty much how I started my journey in wine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up being a TOIC in Celador.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as, you know, I felt I was the right person for that job and I really wanted it, I walked into the job interview and I knew that I would get it and that I wanted it. and I loved, you know, I'm an achiever. Like I just love setting goals and go, yep, you know,
yep,
I see you in the race, you let's do more, like,
you know? Just keep pushing forward. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it was a great role and I enjoyed it, but I really wanted to learn. I wanted to be hands-on. I wanted to hang out with the winemakers. I wanted to be in the production, you know, probably coming from the engineering side as
yes.
well. And so I ended up changing that great paid role and mm-hmm. went to from a full-time to a part-time in a very, very small winery in the Swan Valley.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly probably where I learned. You know, I was able to be out in the vineyards. Mm-hmm. I did some Celador, but I was able to spend time in the winery and get my hands dirty. and I really love that. So, and probably learning actually how, you know, how much hard work is involved into making that wine.
Yeah.
You know, what's in the bottle, what so many people probably just pour. And then it's got, like, you know, so that's probably even where the passion to the wine tasting comes from.
Yes.
It's really go, okay, who makes it?
Yeah.
Why do the wines grow, you know, or why did they choose that particular land or that particular place, that particular, you know, even from the soil types, there's so much behind it. And also yeah. understanding that it is hard work, that it is a labor of love, most likely, especially for the small wineries. And that really impressed me. And
was
so,
it surprising as well, if I can ask you?
What's
as in there was so much work into what was happening in wine, where you obviously come out of the wine industry, you're doing so much research in it, and then you're in it. Like, was it surprising yeah. there was so much effort?
Yes, because I did my VSET 2, like, so I started the WSET course. And in the course, it's mostly, or like, if you do any courses, yes, you talk a little bit about viticulture and, you know, what different, what's all out there and the soil types and the way the grapes grow. Mm-hmm. And you talk about winemaking.
Yes.
But it's mostly about tasting. And then you learn about the different grape varieties or the different wine regions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Then how to taste. But you don't actually learn and really experience,
yeah,
like how much is actually happening behind the scenes.
Sure.
And you know, when you have harvest, you know, then the 60-year-old grandpa gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning,
yes,
for the harvest, and it yeah. worked till 7 p.m. at night, and you go, yeah. "Wow, I really take my hat off to you."
Mm.
And you know that everyone comes together, and that it is a big family affair, especially when it's a family business.
Yeah,
and that you just work tirelessly,
yeah,
until the work is done. Like you can't just say, "All right, It's 5 o'clock, time to go home. Like it's just constant. Yeah. And so especially throughout vintage. But then when vintage finishes, you know, it's just that cycle.
Mm.
And you don't really learn that if you know, like you can read about it. But
sure.
I think with anything, you know, you can
got to experience read. It.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So if you experience it and see it with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or even you know, when you're able to be part of it.
Yes.
I think even just picking. So I think nowadays there's quite a few sommeliers of people in the hospitality who get invited to spend a day in the vineyard.
Yeah.
And when they come back, they go, whoa.
That's how it really is. So how long did you work in like the wineries for before you started doing what you're doing now?
Probably just a year and a half. So okay. I worked in the wineries. Yeah, I would say probably a year and a half. And
yep.
then from there I moved. It's like we lived in the Swan Valley at the time. Mm. So it was very, really close to work. I was riding the bike to vineyards, which I loved.
Yes.
And then we moved more towards the city. And so it was time for change. And I actually ended up, going on seek.com. typing in wine and ended up working for Yalamba/Smith & Sons. So I ended up in wow. distribution
yep.
for a little while, which was really great also to understand, okay, the next step from the winery,
mm.
you know, how does the wine get into the restaurant, into the bottle shops?
Yeah.
I was really working with lots of the sales reps, with the restaurants, like customer service, also like the promos, you know, how much work is again involved in promoting your wine,
of
the
course.
Marketing,
mm.
You know, whenever new vintages come on. So there's lots of travel and yeah. So I think that was really great. I always feel, you know, it was like a missing or, you know, how the puzzle is coming
yeah.
together.
Yes.
So I probably did that for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout that time, I ended up going because I then was doing my WSET 3
mm-hmm.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with 2, then I went to level 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I attended a few wine dinners and attended a master class because I obviously wanted to learn.
Sure.
You know, I'm just like, the more I can learn. I was like a sponge. You know, I was like, and so I would go to master classes and I got more and more disappointed because I felt most masterclasses were sales exercises. So it's like, talking about the wine,
mm-hmm.
but it's mostly about selling, which is totally understandable from, you know, a sales point of view and, you know, from the distributor,
sure.
from the wineries, it's important. Yes, of course. But for me, as someone who just really wanted to know more of the story and learn about the grapes and, I felt there was something missing,
mm-hmm.
and that sparked the candy grapes, the idea. And I said, oh, what if I can create tasting events or like bring people together and taste wines, share the stories, share where they come from.
Yes.
Have people and wine lovers, hospitality, work like people to actually have the opportunity to taste different wines next to each other and just learn it and have it as an experience without the pressure of having or needing to buy something.
Sure.
And that proved to be quite a different, just different, I would say. And people really enjoyed it. People loved it. That they could just come and enjoy so they can have fun.
Sure.
Or say you can have fun or you can learn as much as you want. So
sure.
everyone could
it's
choose.
Up to them. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everyone could choose what you know what they were there for.
Yeah. So how long has Canny Grapes been going about for?
I started in 2016, so April.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't host classes until February 2017. So now I'm now in my fifth year of hosting classes.
Mm-hmm.
So which is, you know, sometimes you actually forget about
how long it's
and
been.
And it was in, because I was probably very, I'm quite a motivated person and driven.
Mm.
And I'm just having that thirst for knowledge.
Mm.
At the start, I started with 2 classes per month.
Right.
In a beautiful small neighborhood wine bar.
Cool.
And I focus straight away on my passion, which is sparkling and champagne.
Yes.
So I run this. So that's my signature class. And I run this every first Saturday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started a second class, which then would be based on different grape varieties, wine regions, wine styles.
Sure.
And then I would add, then I started a bit later, going into Spanish wine. So I find a Spanish restaurant and then I run those ones as well. So, but the thing was, even though my sparkling champagne was my signature, is the class, and I would repeat it, but I would always use like different wines as well.
Yes.
The other classes, so every month I would create one or two new wine classes.
Right.
So that meant, because I write a booklet to each, to each event.
Yes.
So I would really do my research. I would choose, you know, the wines. I would choose, okay, what I want to do, what I want to learn, what I want to share. So it was quite a constant, huge learning curve to actually be able to stand and in front of everyone and talking about it, because at the end it was me studying and then sharing it.
Yeah, wow.
And then in 2019, in October, I realized, we were just, I don't know, somehow the question came up how many classes I had done. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I realized, so then I kind of counted it up, because the good thing is with Eventbrite, you can actually really look back, you know, and actually look at what have I achieved.
Sure.
And so, yeah, in October 2019, I celebrated my 100th class. Back
Wow.
then. So it's in 2.5 years.
Wow, that's a lot.
2.5 years. So, February 17, 18, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so there was, and yeah, what's also I feel like very special about my classes is that people come to one.
Yes.
And then they come to the next and to the next and the next. So it's really good to create that following and seeing, you know, the thirst, you know, that people want that experience. People would be enjoying just learning and traveling, like in the way of from glass to glass, you know, or through a wine class.
Mm. Is there a reason why you started with sparkling and champagne first, rather than, because it's quite unusual, right? Like when you think of maybe it's just me. Like, but when I think of wine classes, I naturally probably don't think of those two things. I'd probably think of like reds and probably delve into some whites, but probably starting with reds. Is there a reason why you wanted to start with the sparkling and champagne?
Yes, actually, there's a yes. And that was in 2016 when I was doing my WSET3. At the same time, I was pretty much just before the exams were on in May. I met a group of champagne lovers. And I was invited to their tasting.
Right.
I didn't really know why. So there's like this private champagne club. And I was like, okay, thanks for inviting me. So I came along and it's all blind tasting.
Yeah.
And the lady who was hosting it, you know, so everyone around was in the room and goes pointing at me and goes, what's she doing here? And then she said, oh, Anya's going to enter the Vin de Champagne Awards.
Mm.
Okay. What? I was like, no, I'm not. I have no time for that. I'm just studying and I'm working. She goes, yeah, you are. And so, which I ended up doing. So pretty much within 8 weeks, I wrote 8 essays.
Wow.
A ton of words.
Wow.
And became one of 6 professional finalists of Australia in 2016.
Wow.
So it was a huge, huge learning curve, like studying day and night. But it just opened up that, you know, I said a can of worms, but it's, I just couldn't
different
believe
opportunities.
How much, from the opportunity, but also like knowledge-wise to actually go, so champagne is not just champagne, the same with sparkling wine.
Yes.
Know? Because like even going to the Champagne Awards, like being a finalist, I actually had to, so when it was announced, but when the finalists were announced, you had 4 weeks until the panel judging.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have like Peter Bourne and, like Bernadette O'Shea, Hugh and Hawk, and then like 2 people from the Champagne Bureau.
Yep.
So So we had the panel there, pardon me, and they can ask you any question about champagne.
Wow.
So you're sitting there.
That's going, not scary.
Okay. But before that, you actually blind taste.
Wow.
Three champagnes.
Okay.
And so just imagine you have three glasses in front of you.
Yeah.
All you know is the origin is champagne.
Wow.
But what is the blend? What is this apart?
Yeah.
Varieties? Is it a non-vintage? Is it a vintage? If it is from a particular year, can you say what year it is? Just purely by tasting. And what styles? You can even pick wines. Like you can quite often even, because each house or producer usually has like a signature.
Yes.
And you can taste it. You can taste producers if you are like...
That's impressive, Anya.
Practical. So, and that really fascinated me.
Yes.
To actually, just learning about it. And then when you look into sparkling wines as well from the different origins, having like Cava from Spain. Everyone knows Prosecco from Italy.
Mm.
But also like here in Australia, we have like traditional method sparkling wines. And what does it mean aging the wine? Like how does it change in style? What style do I love? What style do you love?
Mm.
Do you like more the crispier or do you like more the really complex one?
Sure.
There's so many elements that go into sparkling wine, and that is why I'm popping. I'm like a kid in a candy store. Yay!
That's what makes it so interesting, right?
Yes, I just love sharing it because so many people just go, oh, I didn't know it, and I even make them listen to the bubbles. So when I pour,
Okay.
So open up the bottle next time you open up a bottle.
Okay.
Pour it in the glass, even from the bottle. Just open it up and listen to it.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really impressive. So, Anya, like, last year, obviously, with the pandemic and that kind of stuff, WA fared a lot better than the other states in Australia. But like, you're dealing in an event-based business, right? Where you're asking people in person to to taste wines and that kind of thing. Like, what did you learn out of last year and the lockdown that happened, and how'd that change your business moving forward?
Well, at the start, it was definitely for many others, I wouldn't say scary. It was just more that uncertainty that suddenly everything came to a stop,
mm-hmm.
Especially for my events, because I had planned, I think it was March, so I had planned quite a few events till I think April or May, because I was supposed to go to Bordeaux and Champagne and host my very first Kenny Grapes wine tour.
Wow.
Overseas.
Wow.
So that all their planning
had to be put on hold a bit.
And still, I think when the first lockdown was announced, like when it was first announced, I was like, yeah.
You'll be fine. It'll be all right. A couple of weeks.
We'll be fine.
Yes.
Oh, well, if we don't go now, we'll definitely go in October. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
Because I'm always a very positive outlook. it's like when all restaurants shut, so first off I had to pretty much just tell everyone that I can't, that I couldn't host the events, but also, putting out the vouchers, like what do? Just making decisions.
Sure.
So just on my very own to go, oh, suddenly everything stopped.
Mm.
But then on the other side, because I'm also working as a consultant to restaurants and wine bars. So it was like an instant switch, like to actually go, okay, my classes are right on hold right now. Just dealing with all, the tickets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then attending to the restaurants. Okay, what do we do now?
Yes. Yeah.
And there were so many restaurants, like probably Melbourne, Sydney, like everywhere else too, that those you would never actually have a takeout or delivery.
Yeah.
To go, okay, what do? We have to reinvent. I think many of us really had to reinvent themselves.
Yes.
Or just go, right, what's next? Find a solution, find the next step. And that was definitely unexpected.
Yes.
Especially with the uncertainty, because no one really knew how long.
Yeah.
How long and how are we going to survive? How is it going to be? And
yes.
I mean, even there, like, you can be as positive as possible.
Yes.
You can just, you know, you can't really change it, change anything. So it was very, was an experience to just also, but on the, I have to say, but also probably taking the time to stop.
Yeah.
And taking a breath and going, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much I actually had worked over the last how many years and month, and that I've been constantly going just from one event to the other and always creating new events, creating new wine dinners, creating whatever was, you know, just responding to
what people wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I didn't take it as a negative thing to actually taking that breath and recharging.
Sure.
And then, of course, new opportunities come along. Yeah. I mean, I always say, you know, you don't, opportunities don't happen. You create them.
Great point.
And that's always my saying. And a very dear friend of mine who I met through the Champagne Awards, she reached out from Adelaide and she said, Anya, you're going to host some online tastings with me, champagne tasting.
Yes.
I was like, sure, let's do it. And of course, there were others already in the industry, you know, doing that. And I loved the opportunity to, you know, how people just turned online, like that, that everything was suddenly, especially on the education side for us and probably the tasting, because we were still able to get alcohol, you know, we can still go and buy, which is, you know, so the bottle shops were open. So, you know, we could still actually learn about wine if we wanted to. But I wasn't probably like personally, I wasn't ready to go, oh, yes, I'm going to take everything online. I was like, no, actually, I'm going to sit. And having then the invite,
sure,
to host a tasting together.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, okay, let's do that. Mm-hmm. You know, there was definitely something where I felt there was a lot of mind shift that happened. But then, you know, we always say we come out stronger.
Yes, of course.
For most, of course, like lots of, you know, businesses unfortunately did not survive, or you know, probably said, oh, you know what, I'm actually not gonna just be there to constantly respond to what the you know, our customers want. Actually, maybe just want to change it and just work in a different way. So I think everything always has two sides.
Yeah, of course.
Was
it challenging as a consultant as well with some of these restaurants, you know, like you know, working through their wine lists, or, you know, all of a sudden they're not trading and then, you know, they've got no idea what they're going to do, and, you know, having those conversations with those restaurant owners and stuff, that would have been tough for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was probably also tough because we all suddenly, you know, we didn't know how, even the restaurants didn't know how they're going to pay.
It's a great point.
Their workers, you know, like, and that's because with, you know, the job keeper that, or job seeker, like both, I think for the businesses.
Yes.
It came just much later.
Yeah.
So for them to actually have staff and not, because they didn't have their income.
No.
That's what they would usually do, you know, and having people coming to work.
Yeah.
And you're not, you don't know if you're able to pay them or not. And like, even for me as a consultant, I knew that there was not, you know, in nobody's budget really, because we're all just there to survive.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's kind of also where, you know, where everything really came back to the relationship you actually build.
Yeah.
Over the years, that it is more about caring and not about the money. You know, that, and that's probably also who I am. I love. if I see that I can help somewhere, I just want to help, you know, and then I don't care what the hour. So, you know, and I was like, right, I'm here. Right. Tell me what you want. Let's get the menu out. Yes. Do it. Like,
yes.
Give it go. You have nothing to lose.
Yes.
Just give it a go. I know you're a more fine dining restaurant. You're not a takeaway. But what if?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just probably that's also me being very driven. And probably as a consultant, I'm not just there to write a wine list. I was really working on a holistic, or in a very holistic way. Like for me, it's always important to go, okay, how can I help my client or the restaurant to be more profitable, to make more money, to how to get bumps on seed, like how, you know, how to be successful, how to create new experiences. So it's not just, oh, this is a great wine list here. Like I just loved really representing or having a wine list that represents the restaurant.
Sure.
But also is able to offer great experience. And through COVID, it was like, okay, if the wine list, that's not the main thing right now. It's right now, it's like, okay, how do we get the food out? How do we get this going? And I laughed. Like, it was definitely demanding because I also help, you know, just working on the back end. Like, so I would do the newsletters, the MailChimp, the website.
Yeah, wow.
The artwork, the Canva, like I would do all that. So it was not just about the wines.
Well done you. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Not many consultants can do that. So well done. Like you talked about there, like co-host just before about co-hosting wine events with other people. During the pandemic, have you hosted your own online events as well? Or is that something you didn't want to do?
No, I didn't. I did not host my own events online.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I just wasn't really ready to reinvent it all. Like,
sure.
There was one idea that I had, and it's probably still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like a program or like a wine tasting series that I'm still working on.
Cool.
And I really wanted, I don't know, because the thing is, it wasn't actually that long, you know, for us here in Perth.
Yes.
And so probably by the end of June, I was back in the restaurants.
Yeah,
and the
right. Mm-hmm.
So from there, it was like, oh, yes, oh, man, that's a good idea. Oh, hang on, I'm back.
Yes, it's back to normal
so
now.
Yeah. That it was really, so, you know, for us, we were probably lucky that the lockdown wasn't too long.
Sure.
And because still helping out the other restaurants, you know, that was quite, you know, time consuming as well.
Yes.
So no, I didn't. And even like afterwards, I only hosted my tasting classes. I did not go back into creating dinners.
Right.
Because I felt, again, still uncertainty. So many restaurants were still recovering.
Yeah.
And a wine dinner is usually not something to make profit out of. A wine dinner is to, again, to create an experience, but for the restaurant as well as the winemakers or for me. Like I usually, you know, like if there's wine dinners, for example, that are hosted by wineries, it's purely a marketing exercise.
Right. Okay.
And same for, so it's pretty much just to cover the cost.
Yes.
And at this stage, everyone, because we still had limits in regards to how many people were able to sit in the restaurant, you know,
yes.
No one was back to full capacity. There was still probably half capacity or less.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel that it's the right time to actually ask the restaurants, you know, hey, do we want to, because, you know, I know that everyone was still just trying to find their feet. That's where I've, so now like this year, I'm definitely, you know, I'm looking forward to creating new experiences. And but as we also know, everything can just change from today to tomorrow, unfortunately.
Yes.
So we've seen, you know, there's still short lockdowns.
Short these 3 and 5 day lockdowns. Like it's super weird, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Anyway.
So it's already something where I just go, you know, just living in a way, doing what we can do now. But of course, going forward and say, right, what is it that I want this year and how to do it probably different again. Like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Which really dovetails into my last question really well, Anya. So, like, what are you looking forward to this year for yourself and the business? Like, where do you want to take it now you've had the learnings of last year and strategize about what you want to do? Obviously, you're moving so quick. Like, you're very much a person who's going to move quickly, right, and make decisions. So I'm very interested in what you're going to do this year.
Well, yes, usually that's what I do, especially mm-hmm. when, you know, in regards to responding, or especially if I can help others too.
Mm-hmm.
For Kenny Graves, I mean, for my followers, they definitely probably would have seen that I might know that I probably wasn't as active
yep.
or as, you know, that I did not create as many new classes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably also mostly because I did start another business last year.
Of course.
throughout COVID. So, you know, I kind of just still balancing both.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, because for December, the start of February, suddenly the lockdown was there again. And I was standing there again, go, okay, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I guess like what I'm looking forward to is to do my Champagne Master, which is a program that I enrolled.
Awesome.
So just purely to go, yes. I think I that's a long time coming for me to actually mm-hmm. Doing the course, as well as launching like my new testing program. I would love to do some more local tours, but yep. again, you know, more like on a smaller scale.
Yep.
And yeah, maybe even just connecting with different restaurants and bars.
Sure.
And first, it's great to see how it's growing and how more and more even restaurant and providers, distributors are focusing on education. So it's great to be awesome. The inspiration in a way as well.
Mm.
So yeah, now personally, I feel like I'm with Kenny Graves, I'm just very happy just to just work on the new tasting series.
Sure.
I have some great wine dinners that I'm working on, not just in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
So like as collaboration, so I have one collaboration towards the end of the year here in Perth.
Nice.
With my friend from South Australia, and mm-hmm. then also looking at a collaboration in Queensland.
Amazing.
So yeah, not gonna give too much away. So yes, that's definitely, you know, I love doing new things, and and personally maybe just keep doing what I'm doing, just loving, you know. I would say I love you know, just living my purpose and sharing my passion. So
yeah, and that comes through in spades, I think, Anya. So I think everyone who's listening to this podcast can hear and understand your passion for the industry and what you produce. So like, well done to you and all the success you're having. What's the best way that people can find out about yourself and about Kenny Gray?
The best way is actually my website. So I got www.kennygraves.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow me on Instagram. And that's pretty much the easiest way to just check out what I'm doing or where I'm at, what my next events are,
mm-hmm.
and to get in touch with me.
Cool. Yeah. As always, linked up in the show notes of this podcast. Anya Lewis, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. With pleasure.
's again for tuning into another episode of Principle of Hospitality, the podcast. We hope you really enjoyed this episode. Please comment, like, and share this podcast with your friends in the industry. We're making this content with the industry in mind, so we'd really appreciate you sharing it along with those that you care about in the industry. Thanks as well to our sponsor, Chef's Hat, the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia. They strive to inspire cooks, chefs, bakers, and bartenders to deliver the best product with the best tools every day. We're so proud to partner with them. That's where the industry shops. And if you don't know us at Poe, Sash, my co-founder from Principal Design, has one of the best design agencies in Australia. So if you're looking for anything around strategy, branding, digital design, and graphic design, then you can find them at principaldesign.com.au, and myself at Open Pantry Consulting for anything to do with hospitality operations strategy and recruitment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to Chef's Hat for supporting us. And until next time, stay safe. Cheers.